I'd like you to read a little with me one of my favorite Old Testament stories. This comes from the life of Abraham, and it concerns a time when Abraham had gone with his servants, men who were in his employ, to rescue his nephew Lot from the king of kings who had attacked Sodom, where Lot was living, and he brought them back, and he's about to be subjected to a temptation. Now, all of us face temptation. Temptation was the downfall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever withstood temptation successfully, all the time. And you and I are faced with temptation every day we live. And here's a story that tells us that God is concerned about this problem and that he's done something on our behalf. I think you'll appreciate the Lord Jesus far more than you ever did before if you understand this story of the man called Melchizedek. Briefly, here's the story. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 14. Beginning at verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, Abraham, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is a king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all, that is, Abraham gave to Melchizedek tithes of the spoils of war. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, or the souls, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Now let's see what we can get out of this interesting story. From the book of Hebrews, it's very plain that this is a picture of the Lord Jesus. This is what he says. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now he's quoting here from the 110th Psalm and verse 4. He's telling us that the Lord Jesus Christ, as verse 10 says, is called of God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, maybe a word or two here for some who are not familiar with Old Testament teaching. Priests in the Old Testament did not mean what we mean by the word today. We're not thinking now of some official in some church organization. But a priest in the Old Testament was a representative of God who offered sacrifices for the people. First of all, the oldest man in the family, the father in the family, was the priest. Then later on, we're told that Melchizedek was a priest. After that, God appointed Aaron and his family to be the priests for the children of Israel. Those sacrifices are no longer offered, and therefore the priesthood is no longer in effect. In the New Testament, we're told that all believers are priests. You'll find this in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now the Lord Jesus is called a priest after the order of Melchizedek. What are we to learn from this? Well, the entire 5th and 7th chapters of Hebrews, there's a parenthesis in chapter 6, but chapters 5 and 7 of Hebrews talk about the Lord Jesus as this priest after the order of Melchizedek. Perhaps if we think of what Melchizedek did, we can understand better then what the Lord Jesus has done and is doing. First of all, we cannot have a priest without a sacrifice. And Melchizedek brings the memorials of a sacrifice when he brings the bread and wine. We as Christians observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week because the Lord instituted that feast and gave us those emblems, not as a sacrifice. We don't take that as a sacrifice for our sins. We don't take the Lord's Supper in order to get forgiven. We take the Lord's Supper as a memorial of a completed sacrifice. We look back to Calvary and see that our Savior died there, and the bread makes us think of his broken body, and the blood makes us think of his poured out wine. The wine makes us think of his poured out blood, and so we know that the Lord Jesus has offered a sacrifice which is acceptable to God. The Lord Jesus then is a type of is the antitype of the Melchizedek priesthood for two or three reasons. First of all, Melchizedek had no antecedent. He had no predecessor. There was nobody who was a priest ahead of Melchizedek in his line. And the Lord Jesus is the first and only priest of his line. The Lord Jesus is not the successor of some other person. He is God's eternal answer for man's sin. Secondly, Melchizedek had no successor. The Bible says that he is without father and mother and without descent. That means, of course, the record of his parents and of his descendants are not given. He had descendants. He had parents. We know that. He was a real person. Melchizedek was not an angel or a reincarnation of somebody else or Christ come down to earth ahead of time. He was a real man. I'm convinced of that. But he did not have a recorded genealogy. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ has no successor. The reason given for this is in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, where we read, "Wherefore he," the Lord Jesus, "is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." We'll never need someone to take his place. When Aaron died, his son had to take his place. When Aaron's son died, then his son took his place. And the people never knew when they had a good priest whether they would have him long or whether he would be taken away and perhaps a bad priest would come into his place. How awful to have to depend upon a man. But how wonderful to be able to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever liveth. Now, God wants you to know that his Son is there at the right hand of God to be your representative. The Lord Jesus is in heaven to pray for those who have put their trust in him. And when I sin against God, the Lord Jesus can lift his own nail-pierced hands to plead for me. Isn't that wonderful? Just think of a Savior who ever lives to make intercession for us. And then we're told in this same book of Hebrews that he is perfectly sympathetic. He understands us. We're told that he was made like unto us, that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we're told in the last verse of the fourth chapter of Hebrews, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." But now we find that this man, Melchizedek, the priest, did something else for Abraham. He not only strengthened him with the bread and wine, but he revealed God to him in a new way. He said, "I'm come to you from the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." Now this is exactly what Abraham needed. Abraham was about to be subjected to a terrible temptation. The king of Sodom, and we know how wicked he was. You remember the history of Sodom and Gomorrah had to be destroyed with fire from heaven. The king of Sodom said, I have a proposition. And the devil has always had propositions. He said, you let me have the souls of these people, and I'll let you have the goods. I'll trade you. I'll give you earthly things if you'll give up the things that are really worthwhile. And isn't Satan still doing that to all of us, day after day? Now, what would Abraham have said? He liked possessions. He was a rich man. Well, when he met the king of Sodom, and the king of Sodom offered that temptation, Abraham said, well, I've lifted up my hands to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I won't even take a shoestring from you. Now, he had just learned about God being the Most High God just a few minutes before that. That's the first time in the Bible that you ever read about God by that name. So, you see, he learned about God in a new way that morning, and meeting his high priest first prepared him for the temptation that he was to get. Now, what's our responsibility in this? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. First of all, he's offered a sacrifice that's acceptable to God. Have you accepted his sacrifice? Are you satisfied with what Christ did in your place on the cross? Do you believe that he really bore your sins and put them away? He cried out on the cross, it is finished. Does your heart say amen to that? Well, yes, you say, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and I do believe that Jesus died for my sins, but I don't know how to get along day by day. Well, my friend, the thing to do is to meet the Lord Jesus often, and certainly in the morning before you meet any of the temptations of the day. Meet him daily. Learn to depend on him. Count on him who is there at the right hand of God in your place. And learn from him each day a little bit. Take a little time to read the word and to pray and get to know him better because he's there for you. And your safety depends not on yourself, but on the Lord Jesus who lives for us. Our Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son and for his sacrifice. And we thank thee for his present life for us so that although we are weak and failing, we can trust ourselves completely to our living Savior and great High Priest. Take our thanks in his name. Amen.